in our Vaishnava scriptures, the story is told of how Krishna wanted to completely crush the sense of false pride of Indra, the king of heaven. Queen Kunti prays, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shibir Edamana Madapuman, that what is considered materially favorable is very unfavorable for devotional service. And that is material opulence, wealth, high knowledge, high birth, fame, beauty. People struggle, toil to achieve these opulences in this world. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us in Shikshastakam, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahayita kitvai. No, I do not want wealth. Not the perishable wealth of this world that creates a high fever of greed and attachment. I do not want the company of the beauty of the opposite sex, which simply agitates the fever of passion, lust. When lust is aggravated, becomes anger. From anger, there is bewilderment of memory. When the memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down deep into the material pool. Lord Chaitanya proclaimed that he did not want fame. Even followers, disciples. It is a great sense gratification for a person on the material platform to be glorified, to be respected, to have people who listen to you. Mahaprabhu said, no, I don't want followers. Kavitam, I don't even want scholarship. In Navadvip, this was one of the greatest entanglements. People who had tremendous amount of scholarship. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specially designed his lila to refute the validity of material scholarship. As Nimai Pandit, he was the topmost scholar in the high seat of learning. The proof of that was when the Digvijay Pandit, Keshav Kashmiri, he traveled to all the holy places and all the great seats of learning throughout the land and conquered anyone with any distinction in debate. And ultimately he came to Navadvip. The place so much famous. By the grace of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Navadvip became the most powerful place for learning and education in the whole of India. Nimai Pandit effortlessly defeated him. And he made arguments even against the greatest of the teachers and professors of Navadvipa. They could not answer his questions. So first he established himself as the greatest scholar, and then he completely rejected it as an impediment to pure devotional service. But even scholarship as a devotee can potentially be a great impediment. Because without humility, nothing we have to offer Krishna is pleasing to him. Trinarapi sunichena taror ivasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. For there to be love, for there to be gratitude, there must be humility. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that the beginning of one's real spiritual life is humility. Tadvadi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. First, we must have a very humble and submissive attitude. Arjuna was humble. He was completely humbled before Krishna considered him a fit candidate to understand Bhagavad Gita. So the whole purpose of knowledge is to awaken bhakti. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam ampapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sabdurlaba. Krishna tells in Gita that after many, many births of knowledge, when one finally comes to the real conclusion of knowledge, that person surrenders to Vasudeva, knowing Krishna to be the cause of all causes and all that is. This sharanagati, this surrender, is step by step explained in beautiful prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And we find therein, one must really consider oneself humble like a blade of grass, be tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. By chanting the name in this spirit, we can actually surrender. Otherwise, without that spirit of considering oneself insignificant, unqualified, you cannot really surrender. It's external. It is a show. So even on the path of bhakti, we must be very, very careful, because Maya Devi even gives us spiritual benedictions which can facilitate incredible service in this world for the pleasure of the Lord, but also could create a potential disaster if we do not understand with the proper spirit of humility. Krishna can give a devotee fame, and that fame can be used in Krishna's service to transform large masses of people's hearts. But if we think that fame to be our own, if we do not understand that that fame is really Krishna manifesting through this insignificant little instrument, then what happens? Punar mushtaka bhava. Yes, Krishna can make a little mouse into a lion. But if that lion thinks that the power is mine, if that lion becomes proud and offends others, again, Krishna transforms you into a mouse. And we have seen, even within our own contemporary society, people who are empowered with tremendous spiritual opulences, but when they become proud, then what happens inevitably when you're proud? You think you have the right to make judgments on others and you offend them. We have never seen a person offending others who doesn't feel completely justified in doing so. But your justifications does not prevent you from receiving the reaction. Ramchandrapuri found complete justification in blaspheming Lord Chaitanya. Ramchandra Khan completely justified his blasphemy against Haridas Thakur and convinced so many others about it also. But it doesn't matter. When you have false pride, that false pride just impels you to see others as competitors, to see yourself in a higher position, and to commit aparadhas. And when they are applied to a Vaishnav, mad elephant offense. So very dangerous. Similarly, we come to Krishna consciousness, we read the holy scriptures, we hear from the holy people, and we become learned. That knowledge is Krishna's words descending through the acharyas. They are not our words. We are just postal peons, just delivering the message. But if due to our fertile brains, we have the power to memorize, we have the power to defeat others, the tendency is there to become proud. Then a great benediction becomes a curse. Because Queen Kunti says, as long as we're proud of any of these opulences, we cannot call out Krishna's holy name with sincere and honest feeling. Only akinchana gocharam. Akinchana means a person who has nothing. That doesn't mean just money and nice clothes and house. It means we're proud of nothing of ourselves. We're not proud of our beauty, our youth, our caste, our ashram. We're not proud of our knowledge. We're not proud of our spiritual advancement. We're proud of anything except pride in Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnava's mercy. We cannot chant with feeling. So this lesson is throughout our Vaishnava scriptures. People become great, they become proud, they make offenses, and they fall down. They are punished by the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I do not want scholarship. I don't even want liberation from suffering. My only aspiration is to serve you, my Lord, unconditionally, birth after birth after birth. This is actual Gaudiya Vaishnavism. When we see everything in this perspective and we apply whatever Krishna gives us with this devotional spirit. So Indra is very powerful. He's wealthy. He's learned. He's beautiful. He has many followers. And because of that pride, he could not understand Krishna's pastime. Krishna specifically convinced Nanda Maharaj and Brijvasis, do not offer all of this wonderful puja to Indra. Give it to a mountain instead. Giri Govardhan. Now we know that Krishna revealed to us that Giriraj is not only his most intimate devotee, but he manifested himself as Govardhan. But Indra did not understand these things. From Indra's point of view, Krishna's taking all of this paraphernalia of mountains of food and other articles of puja. It's been offered to me for generations, every year, and they're offering it to a mountain. He was outraged. And he sent Sambartaka clouds with devastating rainfall. Not the kind of rainfall that floods Bombay. This is the kind of rainfall that floods the entire world. That creates the earth to be one gigantic ocean of devastation. All aimed at Vrindavan. Indra was getting his revenge. But Krishna, who was only 7 years old, just to teach Indra a very good lesson, he effortlessly lifted Sri Giriraj like a child lifts a insignificant mushroom. And to further humiliate Indra, he held it with the little finger of his left hand, the tip. Indra was sending these clouds, lightning, thunder, torrential rainfall. It wasn't coming in drops. The rain was falling in pillars. It was massive downpour. And high, hurricane speed winds for 7 days and seven nights. And the Samvartaka clouds came to Indra, and they were so totally exhausted. Indra himself joined the clouds. And with all of his power and all of his strength, he was sending thunderbolts. They were all trying with such high velocity winds to somehow or other blow the hill off Krishna's little finger. Through these 7 days, not only did the hill not even move, but Indra and all of his army of devastation, they could not remove a single leaf from the hundreds and thousands of trees on Giriraj. Indra and all of his powers did not have the strength to even move even a molecular distance, one grain of dust from Govardhan. Krishna really knows how to crush his devotees' false pride. So ultimately, Indra didn't know what to do. But he was told by Brihaspati, his guru, that you have done very serious aparadhas to the Brijavasis. You cannot approach Krishna directly, you must go through his devotee. If you remember on Govardhan Parikrama, there is Surabhi Kunj. Indra approached Surabhi, the mother of the Surabhi cows. And she approached Krishna in a secluded place and said, Indra is very sorry for what he has done. Please forgive him. When those who are dear to the Lord beg on our behalf for his mercy, then only does Krishna give his mercy. Mad bhakta puja pyadika. The greatest worship, Krishna says, is worship of my devotees, because they are most dear to me. Krishna declares in ninth canto of Bhagavat that the sadhu, my devotee, has given his life to me. Therefore, I have given my life to my devotee. The devotee knows no one but me, therefore I know no one but my devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Vasudev Dutt that I am a prisoner in your heart. I am yours. Wherever you want to sell me, I am sold. So Krishna forgave Indra after he offered beautiful prayers. Krishna returned, but Indra was still feeling very much fearful and ashamed. So he said to Surabhi that Krishna forgave me this time because I did not understand his glory and his opulence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's going to come again in the Kali Yuga. I'm very fearful that I'm going to make the same mistake again. Please tell me, what should I do? So Surabhi told him that the Lord will appear as Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Sri Navadvip Dham. We should go there to Nadia, and we should perform tapasya to receive the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the highest benediction of pure love of God is available for those who remember and chant the names of Lord Gauranga. So Indra, the King of Heaven, accepted the instructions of a cow. And they came just close by what is now called Surabhi Kunj. And there, they performed tapasya under a banyan tree. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased upon them. Simply by chanting the holy names of Sri Gauranga with sincerity and praying for his mercy, tears of love were flowing from Indra and Surabhi's eyes. Their limbs were trembling in transcendental bliss. And then Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared before them. They surrendered that beautiful form. Complexion like molten gold, eyes like fully bloomed lotus petals. His arms extending below his knees. His neck was like that of a lion, his shoulders like an elephant. His chest was broad, his waist was thin. His nose was like a freshly bloomed sesame flower. His lips were like the bright red of a bimba fruit. Each of his toenails was more effulgent and dazzling than thousands of suns. His long, beautiful hair, deep black in color, was the very personification of all beauty as it cascaded down his shoulders and his back. Seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing while chanting the holy names of Krishna was the ultimate perfection of their lives. And Lord Chaitanya told Indra that I know your heart. I will come in the age of Kali to Nadia to perform my divine pastimes. And you will be my associate. And you will have the chance to serve me. The Lord disappeared. Indra returned to his abode. But Surabhi remained. She did not want to leave Sri Navadvip. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Navadvip Dhamma Mahatmya how Markandeya Muni, the son of Markanda, he received a benediction from Lord Shiva that he would live a very, very long life. 7 kalpas. It's a long life. Now, for those of you who want a long life, please listen to this story very carefully. The longer you live, the more you have to suffer in this world. So yes, he lived, but then when Brahma goes to sleep at the end of a day, at the end of a kalpa, there's a devastation. There's partial devastations, there's fuller devastations. These torrential rainfalls came and everything was flooded. There was just the ocean of devastation. No land to be seen anywhere. No food. Because he's vegetarian, he can't eat. He can't eat fish. He was starving. It's salt water, so he had nothing to drink. And this is going on for millions of years. And the waves were smashing against him, just tossing him one place to another. He was absolutely exhausted. But there was nowhere to go to sleep. And sometimes huge Timangila fish. Prabhupada explains, Timangila fish eat whales. That's how gigantic they are in size. They just open their mouth and swallow whales. And these Timangila fish were attacking Markandeya Rishi. So he was really, really just suffering terribly. And then he fell unconscious. He was suffering so much. But during the devastation, Navadvip is not covered. And this particular place called Godramdvip, Jayaputak Maharaj explained, Go means cow and Dru means tree. It is the island where there is the tree with a cow, Surabhi, always standing beneath. Surabhi took pity on Markandeya, who was unconscious due to suffering miserably. And she brought him to this island of Godramdvip, rescued his life, and when he came to consciousness, he was starving. He begged Surabhi for some milk. So she personally, like a mother, fed him her own ambrosial Surabhi milk, which revitalized his life. And then she explained to him the glories of Navadvip Dham. It is the eternal abode of the Lord, which has descended into this material existence. It is the eternal abode of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and their intimate associates. The supreme, most worshipable place in all of creation. Godramdvip is a place of many wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. In this holy place, I would like to share just one with you that happened right here where we are sitting. Would you like to hear? Thank you. My prayer is your enthusiasm will empower me to speak something for your pleasure. actually, we are all completely depending on mercy of Vaishnavas. In one sense, serving Vaishnavas is like taking water from Ganga and offering it back to Ganga. Because without Vaishnavas' mercy, we can do nothing for anyone. So when we want to serve the Vaishnavas, we are depending on their mercy for the capacity to serve them. Whatever our position, Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Gurudev, he would explain to his disciples that you are all representatives of my Guru Maharaj. What an exalted vision. Where he picked us up from. But he saw us as representatives of his Guru Maharaj. So one time Lord Chaitanya was dancing and chanting through these beautiful forests of trees along with his associates. They were performing Harinam Sankirtan. Dancing, singing. During the kirtan, Jagadananda Pandit describes in his Prema Vivarta, a very wonderful cowherd boy approached Lord Chaitanya. He said, "You are my brother. Please, come to my home. I want to feed you with all delicious milk products. We have a feast of milk preparations prepared for you. Please come to my home. After all, I am your brother." Lord Chaitanya inquired, "How can you be my brother? I am Brahman, you are Vaishya. How can we be brothers?" He said, "Actually, we are brothers, because my mother, whose name was Malini, she was a very dear associate of your mother, Sachimata. She would assist Sachimata in so many ways in her services. And Sachimata loved my mother so much that she said, 'I accept you as my sister.' So if Sachimata accepts my mother as her sister, that means we are brothers. So please come to my home. We want to feed you with the gifts that our cows have given." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy and directed the Harinam Kirtan party to the village of the little cowherd boy. As they approached, they saw a lake. And there were cows on the banks of that lake. And they seemed to be very, very disturbed. They were making loud mooing sounds. And they wouldn't even drink the water from that lake because they were so thirsty. So the devotees were watching. "Why are the cows so disturbed? What is it in this lake?" All of a sudden, this gigantic crocodile tail emerged from the water, splashing in all directions. And out from the water came this huge, dangerous crocodile. Have any of you ever met a crocodile? They're very powerful. They have those big mouths. And every one of their teeth is sharper than a sword. And their jaws are so powerful that they can just cut any man in half within a second. Huh? One of the most dangerous creatures on earth is the man-eating crocodiles. Of course, Nityananda Prabhu He was very fond of crocodiles. Sometimes during the monsoon rainy season, those gigantic crocodiles would go into, they would swim together. And anything in sight, they would just devour it. So the devotees would not go into the Ganga at that time, except Nityananda Prabhu. He would dive right at the crocodiles. He would jump on the crocodiles. He would ride on the crocodiles, laughing. But actually, crocodiles are very, very, they symbolize death. Gajendra, the elephant, he was the most, he was the king of all the jungle. In a heavenly abode, even the lions, the tigers, the leopards, they all obeyed Gajendra out of fear of his power. But when he was in the water and he was caught by that crocodile, he was helpless. Ultimately, he was utterly defeated. So whoever we are, we should know that in this material existence, there are so many crocodiles that we don't see. They're about to devour us. The crocodile of lust, the crocodile of envy, the crocodile of anger, pride, greed, the crocodile of illusion. At the least expected moment, they will attack and devour us. So this crocodile was so big. And did you ever hear a crocodile roar? Terribly frightening. They really roar. So this crocodile was roaring, and everyone stood back. And all of a sudden, that crocodile leaped right toward Lord Chaitanya. The devotees were aghast. And the crocodile fell right at Lord Chaitanya's feet, and with his head touched the Lord's lotus feet. And to everyone's great astonishment, this deadly, ugly, dangerous crocodile transformed into a beautiful celestial boy. And with folded hands, surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, for the sake of everyone's information, he asked this little boy, why were you a crocodile? And he told the story. He said that I am a child from the celestial worlds. And one day, Durvas Muni, after performing his tapasya, he was taking rest. And I wanted to play some nice tricks, so I cut his matted hair off. When Durvas Muni woke up, he felt his head lighter. Then he looked down and saw there was a pile of his matted hair laying on the ground. So he cursed, whoever cut my hair will take birth as a crocodile. Because crocodile has mouth like scissors. Very efficient cutting instrument. So this little boy, Deva Kumar, from a celestial family with all opulences, he became very much frightened and he fell at Durvasa Muni's feet and begged forgiveness, begged, please, please, I don't want to be a crocodile. Life is so nice in the celestial world, I have to fall down and be a crocodile? From such a beautiful to such an ugly, horrible creature that everyone hates? Nobody likes crocodiles. Even crocodiles don't like crocodiles. It's a horrible curse. So the boy prayed, please, please forgive me. So Durvasa Muni said, I cannot retract my curse. You become a crocodile. However, you will be a crocodile in Navadvip. And when you surrender to Lord Gauranga and take the dust of his lotus feet, then you will resume your present form. But you will have a special benediction. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that little boy Krishna Prema. At that time, a beautiful celestial airplane made of gold descended with the little boy's parents to take him back home. And after circumambulating Lord Gauranga four times, he boarded the ship and returned to his abode, chanting the holy name. So Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, delivered the crocodile here. Therefore, the name of this place is Gaur Doha. Let us meditate and pray. Because we are all very much consumed by the crocodile of material energy. Our crocodile-like minds that are envious of others, that are lusty to enjoy the property of God, if we can somehow or other engage these crocodile-like minds in taking the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his devotees, then we too will be delivered. That is why we had nice kirtan, so everyone could get covered with dust. This is all the dust of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. But we must receive this dust in a spirit of surrender and humility. We must receive this dust in a spirit of desperation. We absolutely need the mercy of the Lord. We are begging for the mercy of the Lord. And what is the mercy we are begging for? The mercy of pure unalloyed devotion. Prema Pumartha Mahan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that the crest jewel of all goals of life, the Purushartha Siromani, is Prema. Krishna Prema. It is the only goal worth striving for. It is the only treasure that is eternal and can satisfy the needs of the heart. So we are begging for this pure, unalloyed love. That is the purpose of everything we do, everything we speak. We cannot achieve that love. But if we please Krishna through our service, through our enthusiasm to hear his glories, our enthusiasm to chant his names, then Krishna and Sri Radharani, they bestow that mercy upon us. That is the special magnanimous nature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna, while tasting the infinitely sweet love of Sri Radharani, she is distributing that love to the world. And what is the price? Nityananda Prabhu is giving that love in this marketplace in Godram Dweep at Surabhi Kunj. He's giving that love, and the only price is our faith. So let us offer this crocodile mind with great humility at the lotus feet of Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas. Let us take shelter of the holy names of the Lord. And then, man manabhava madbhakto madhyajimna namaskuru. Mame vaishashi shatyamti pratijani priyoshime. Krishna promises us we will attain him without fail. Bhaktya mama bijanati yavan yashchasmi tatvada. We can only attain Krishna through pure love. So everybody, please, roll in the dust of this holy place, praying for the benediction of genuine humility, faith in the service of the servants of the Lord. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki After you perform this sacrificial ritual of taking dust in a sincere mood of prayer, we will perform Harinam Sankirtan to our next destination. Thank you very much. There's another story before taking dust that took place in this area also. While Lord Chaitanya was performing his Sankirtan, roaming through these beautiful forests, a parrot landed on the Lord's hand. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Sukha, this parrot, to chant the holy names of Krishna. Chant Krishna, Krishna. And the parrot chanted, Gora, Gora! Gora, Gora! Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not happy. He said, chant Krishna, Krishna. And the parrot chanted, Gora, Gora! He threw the speech. Chant Krishna, Krishna! So Lord Chaitanya was very despondent. He said, I'm asking you to chant Krishna's names, Radha and Krishna's names. The eternal Lord of Vrindavan. And the parrot replied, Gora, Gora! The parrot said that Sri Radha and Krishna have appeared as my beloved Lord Gora, and Vrindavan has appeared as Navadvipdham. Therefore, with great enthusiasm, that little parrot is eternally chanting the holy name. Something like that. So through this wonderful narration, this parrot revealed to us that in the age of Kali Yuga, Sri Radha and Krishna are only approachable through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are very intimate, confidential, and can really be only approached properly through those who have spontaneous love. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna, and his pastimes are the pastimes of Vrindavan, but performed in such a way that even the fallen souls in the age of Kali are given access to the eternal pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan. That is the special benediction of Navadvipdham. So please, let us take the dust of Sri Gaura Doha and pray for his causeless mercy. Thank you very much.